And Hummel has had 40 years of experience through various ministries with the Wilds, about 30 of those at Wilds of New England, and 10 plus Wilds of North Carolina. Somehow Wilds of New England just tripped off my tongue when it comes to your name, Rand, and 10 years plus at the Wilds of New England. And I can personally attest to how much they love having the Wilds of New England, and Rand in particular, up there, or our travels up there from time to time. They just are so thrilled what God is providing for them. We're thrilled tonight then to have Rand here. He is a prolific writer, has a good number of books, a large number of books that he has produced for the benefit of God's people. We're looking to make an arrangement to have a display of those books here tomorrow that would be available if you would like to look those over and purchase some of those. So come prepared for that tomorrow. He may have more to say about that himself. And we are thankful for the opportunity to sit under the ministry of God's Word with Rand preaching God's Word. We are grateful as well to have a number of men here from several of our sister churches around the area, several pastors as well. Appreciate your support for this endeavor, and we know that you share our concern for the hearts of men and the attacks that we are all under. And just the number of people here tonight is just a good testimony that God has already worked. Here's the first step. Hearing the answers, even getting a better understanding of the problem, and a greater trust in God. We're looking forward to God changing our lives as a result of these opportunities this weekend. So let's commit this time to prayer, and then Rand will come begin this session. Father, we are grateful for the Word of God that you have provided. Thank you for the confidence that we have in your word, because your word teaches us that it has every answer for the needs of life. So, Father, we know that you have answers for the needs that we have and the particular needs of men in our society, in our churches. We have come, Father, because we want those answers. We want greater clarity. We want greater victory. We ask, Father, that you would empower Rand Hummel. Thank you for his preparation, for his experience. But Father, he needs your power tonight, the authority of your word. We all need the work of your spirit in our hearts. We ask, Father, that we would put forth no obstacle to you accomplishing your full plan among us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And good evening. It is really good to be with you, because I know most of you would rather be out Christmas shopping with your wives tonight. How many of you love shopping? Let me see your hands. How many of you are glad you're here tonight? Let me see your hands. Yes, I love it. Again, it is a joy to be with you, and I humbly do stand before you because, you know, it's a tough world that our kids are growing up in. How many of you are dads or granddads? Let me see your hands, okay? Wow. How would you like your son or your grandson to be as victorious in his thought life as like you are right now? And when we think about the battles that we face in the mind, it's a tough life, it is, okay? And what we're going to do tonight and tomorrow is just see that this book, this is the Word of God, okay? And I promise you, there's nothing else. There's no lightning bolt that can zap us. There's no pill that you can take. There's no three-point plan, guys. You are clean through the Word of God, which I have given you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. You are clean through the word of God. And that's all we're going to talk about, okay? To see how the word of God makes the difference. I already know what you're going to do 3 years from now in regards to pornography and control of your mind. I do. I know what you're going to do 3 years from now. You're going to do what you love. If you love your kids and you love your wife and you love your Lord, you're going to be victorious in this stuff. But guys, if you love you, and all you're concerned about is getting your thrill, then you're probably going to continue to struggle, okay? God's word has answers, it really does. And it is a privilege, it is. When I look out, Pastor, this is a good-looking group of guys, okay? Would you turn the guy next to you, please? Just look at him and say, hey, I love the way you fixed your hair tonight. Just tell him that, okay? The battle of the mind is the greatest battle that we'll ever face in our lives. Why? Because you're not what you think you are, but you are what you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you're thinking today, you're becoming tomorrow. Actually, our thoughts are simply an index to our character. If I could take your thoughts for the past 3 weeks, I could almost write a biography about you. We are what we think. And living in this world, it used to be there was a day when some of you old guys out here, you had to kind of sneak around and you had to search and you had to find. And today, all kids have to do is pull their phones out. Boom, it's right there. The internet is a great blessing. There's not a day, there's not almost an hour goes by that I don't have the privilege to share with friends literally around the world and pray for them, share prayer requests. It is part of our lives, okay? And the internet is not going to go away. It's going to get bigger and stronger and faster and more appealing every single day. It is part of the world that we live in, whether we like it or not. It is here, okay? But I want you to understand there is a dark side to the internet. And the dark side is sometimes pretty difficult to avoid. You could put it this way. For centuries, Satan's been hurling fiery darts. Today, he's gotten his hands on a weapon of mass destruction. Let me tell you why many years ago, I spent literally hundreds of hours on this one message alone. In 1 week at camp, 3 different teenage girls came up to me. Different homes, different churches, different backgrounds. But when they came to me, they all had the exact same question. And went something like this. Rand, can I talk to you? I said, yeah, what's up? I said, the other night I was at home and I had already gone to bed. And I woke up in the middle of the night and had to use the restroom. And when I was walking down the hall, I thought I heard or saw something in the living room. And when I looked in, there's my dad. He was watching pornography on his computer. And I don't know what to do. There's hardly a week goes by, even today, in my life now, New England, that I don't receive a text or an email that's something like this. Let me just share this one with you. Dear Mr. Ram, I don't really know what to say. A few weeks ago, I caught my dad looking at pornography. I told myself I didn't really see what I thought. And even though I often catch him quickly exiting the screen when someone comes near, I'm homeschooled. And today while doing school, I looked over and there it was, right in front of him. And I don't know what came over me. I was angry. And it felt as though he had reached in and tore my heart out. I called his name and asked him what he was doing. And he quickly exited out and said he was trying to get his pop-up off his Facebook. Told me he wasn't looking at it. I don't know whether to believe him or not. Please pray for me. I don't want to be bitter or treat him coldly. But at the same time, he's the pastor of our church. If it is true, I can't sit there and listen to him preach every Sunday and Wednesday. Please pray for me, Mr. Rand. I don't know what to do. I'm telling you guys, I spend time with teens in my entire life. And what do you tell the 14, 15-year-old girls who push a dresser in front of their bedroom door at night because they're scared to death of what their brothers and their dads are watching online? No kid should have to grow up like this today. None. And so I did. I thought, what does God say about this in his word, you know? And I did. I started studying these things. And, you know, I took my Strong's Concordance. I looked up computer. I looked up, you got to get a Dell dude. I looked up all this stuff, okay? And finally, I came across this one passage from Ezekiel. chapter 8. I'll have it on the screen, but you can have it in your Bible also. Now, I know that God did not write or give this vision to Ezekiel just with the internet in mind. But guys, I also understand this. To God, 1,000 years is but a day, and a day is 1,000 years. So to God, 2,000 years ago was like the day before yesterday. And basically, this is what God was telling Ezekiel. Ezekiel, I want you to see what's going on right now in the midst of my people. How many of you know Christ as your Savior? You're trusting Christ and Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins. Let me see your hands. Okay. Guys, we're God's people. We're special to Him. He really, really loves us. And He desires not to have just a casual relationship, but He wants that, 1 John 1, that intimate fellowship that's just filled with joy. He does. And I think that you're going to see that what went on here in Ezekiel's day, it's just the same thing that's going on in our day today. Came to pass in the 6th year and the 6th month and the 5th day of the month as I sat in mine house, that the elders of Judah sat before me, and the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness is the appearance fire. It's describing here the glory of God, okay? And remember, the book of Ezekiel is a picture of the glory of God painted on a backdrop of very dark times, very wicked times. I beheld, and he saw this fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, from his loins even upward. His appearance of brightness is a color of amber. I love that word, amber. That's my wife's name. Verse 3. He put forth the form of a hand, and he took me by the lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven. And he brought me to the visions of God, to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looks towards the north, where was the seat of the image of, say the next word out loud with me, please, ready? Jealousy, which provoketh to, say it again. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel is there, according to the vision I saw in the plain. And he said unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes away toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of this altar, the image of, say it, jealousy in the entry. Now, when it speaks of God's jealousy here, okay, he is not jealous of. Again, the privilege of being a camp director and watching teenagers who are madly in love. They know that the one that they're in love with is going to be their life mate. They're in the 7th grade, but they know this is the one, okay? They're fighting and arguing and all the jealousy. You think she's prettier than I am, don't you? And all this stuff, okay? That's not the kind of jealousy that God has. God is not jealous of. God is jealous for us. And he knows exactly what kind of love can crawl into our hearts and reach down and grab a hold of our heart and pull that heart away from him. I remember, I think he was 14, maybe 15, a homeschool kid. Came to me, I was counseling him. He said, Rand, I was doing a homework assignment with mom on the computer, and all of a sudden this trash came on. We have no idea where it came from. We quick turned the computer off, rebooted it. But then he told me this. He said, Rand, I have never seen that stuff before, and I've never seen it since. But I want to. You got to understand, guys, I think some of you have like amnesia of what it was like when you're 14 and 15. And once that grabs a hold of a heart, just that constant desire to want to see more and more. And what happens is individuals that give into it start loving it more than they love their kids, more than they love their wives, more than they love their God. God is jealous for us. Verse 6. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here. Whenever you read the word abomination, you should immediately think hate, hate, hate. If you really want to know what God hates, study abomination. And then he says that I should go far off from my sanctuary. Sanctuary is the place of worship, both corporately and privately. It is that place you set aside, that you get alone, and you praise God for who he is and how good he has been to you. Almost every single time I have ever counseled a college guy, teenager, who have come to me and said, Rand, I need some help. I'm into porn. Can you help me? I said, I can. I said, if you'll listen and you'll get into the Word. I can help you. But before we begin, I got a question for you. Tell me, how's your devotional life? And almost every single time, this is how they answer that question. It's non-existent. You can't spend hours on Saturday night filling your mind with trash and think you can come into your church on Sunday morning and worship God freely. You can't spend night after night just messing around, looking at the stuff. Is that what you get up in the morning? And open your Bible and worship your God? It doesn't work like that. Barna Statistics tells us right now that 60% of all our kids that grow up in our churches, 60%, when they leave home, they leave God. I don't like those statistics at all. But there's something that crawls into their heart and life that causes them to lose their love for God. It's just a matter of time when you begin pushing God out of the sanctuary. It's just a matter of time before you push him out of your life. He says, turn thee yet again, and you shall see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then he said unto me, son of man, dig now in the wall. When I dig in the wall, behold a door. It almost sounds like a Zelda thing going on here, okay? But you have to be young to understand that. And then he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed in the wall round about. When Ezekiel walked into this room, there's graffiti on the walls, both words and pictures that depicted the perverse immorality that was associated with the idolatrous worship. And we all know that on the dark side of the internet, I mean, guys, it's home to thousands of images that would be illegal to sell in adult bookstores today. This is the world that we live in. So he goes in, he looks around this room. And in verse 11, there stood before him 70 men of the, say the next word, please, ancients. Now, who are the ancients? And seriously, I'm not trying to be funny here. That's you, Pastor. That's you, Dad, Grandpa. Come on, who by reason of use you've learned to discern after year, preaching the Word of God, being faithful in church, those who should know better. And then all of a sudden, this young teen who's already struggling in his heart, and the one he looks up to, he finds out, is a secret life of lust. Do you understand what that does to a kid? Hope is destroyed. If they can't live for God, whoa. There's no way that I can. The ancients, in the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan. Who is that? Shaphan read the word of God to King Josiah when they had the great revival. Jazaniah heard his daddy read the word of God. And even tonight, come on, I'm not preaching to a bunch of guys that don't know God. We know God. We know what he loves. We know what he hates. Isn't it amazing? We still literally make a choice to be involved in that which he hates. It doesn't make sense. Verse 12, he said unto me, son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man, the chambers of his imagery, the rooms of his imagination, for they say the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. So guys, I got to ask us, what do you do in the dark when you think nobody will ever find out? What do you do in the dark when you think nobody is watching? And how many times I've even had young guys say, Rand, it's okay. Nobody ever knows. I'm not hurting anybody. And you might be able to hide it from your kids and your wife. But the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good, guys. You cannot hide from God. And why do you want to hide from God unless you love your sin more than you love him? Every man, the chambers of his imagery, where they come up, make up the images and imagining things. And remember, these are the religious leaders, okay? These are the guys who profess to know God. And one thing, even though they profess to know God, they didn't know him very well. Because they said, the Lord seeth us not, lie. The Lord sees. They say, he hath forsaken the earth. No, he hasn't. He's not going to forsake his own. Verse 13. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. And he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was towards the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Now who's this? Tammuz was a false god. And they would gather once a year, somewhere around, if I understand the study right, somewhere around April, I think there's a month named after this, and they would worship this false god with the most perverse, wicked, any kind of immorality you can imagine was part of this. In fact, when Constantine came to rule, he saw this type of worship was so vile, he abolished the whole thing. The sad thing is the next verse. Hast thou seen this, O Son of Man? Turn thee yet again, thou shalt see greater abominations. You know when they would weep before this Tammuz? Again, not only every form of immorality, but they would literally take their little babies and sacrifice them and kill them and give them to this false god. And God says there's greater abominations? What can be worse than every form of immorality? What can be worse than killing their own kids? Verse 16. He brought me to the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 5 and 20 men. Again, describing spiritual leaders here. Get this, with their backs towards the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun towards the east. These individuals said, God, we don't want to worship you. We don't want you in our sanctuary. You see a digression here? Now they're turning their back on God and saying, God, we don't want you in our lives. And again, whatever point you push God out of the sanctuary, out of that place of worship, it's just a matter of time when you're going to at least want to push him out of your life. Verse 17, he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O Son of Man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah they commit the abominations they commit here? Is it a light thing? Is it not a big deal, guys? Is it a light thing? Doesn't it bother us? Is it a light thing? Doesn't it tear our hearts out and make us want to tremble before the word of God that we would volitionally choose to disobey him? This is not a light thing. But we make it that. And we pretend it's a light thing. They filled the land with violence. They've returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put a branch to their nose. Very difficult to understand. The only way I could kind of get what they're trying to say here. During Ezekiel's day, if you wanted to show your contempt, your hatred, you put a branch to the nose. Today, I don't mean to be crass, but today you would give somebody the finger. It was a type of sign or a sign language to prove your hatred and contempt. God, we don't want to worship you. God, we don't even want you in our lives. And where it results is you literally want to blaspheme and make fun and belittle your God. The last verse is pretty sad. God says, I'm going to deal in my fury. Don't you dare think that God does not get angry with sin, because he does. And why does God hate sin so much? I mean, that he closed down the Garden of Eden, destroyed the world with a flood, sent his son to die such a horrific death. Why does God hate sin so much? I can actually tell you the answer to that question, because he loves you guys so much. The only thing that can separate us from God in fellowship for Christians, for eternity, for unbelievers, is sin. Remember, we're saved from our sin, heaven and hell. That salvation is not a choice between heaven and hell. Those are consequences of the choice. Salvation is a choice between Jesus Christ and your sin. And unless our sin is separated from us, guys, we have to be separated from God forever. Do you understand why God hates sin so much? God says, I'm going to deal with my fury. Mine eyes shall not spare. I will not overlook this. I'm not going to glance. I'm not going to say it's no big deal. Neither will I have pity. This is God speaking here, okay? Though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. What does this mean? When we sin and we ask God to forgive us, does he forgive us? Yes or no? Yes, he does. Does he always remove the consequences of those sins? You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequences of your sin. God said, they'll cry with a loud voice and I will not hear them. These same people that said, God, we don't want you in our sanctuary. We don't want you in our lives. Leave us alone. You know what God did? He sent another nation in. The nation was taken into slavery. The men became literally, they were slaves. They had no say about anything in life. And it doesn't talk a lot about it, but women in slavery, you study it. Basically, a woman in slavery is treated as a piece of trash to be used, abused, and thrown away. And when you look at the dark side of the internet, the enslavement, many say that pornography is more addictive than most all of the heroin that's on the market today. And women are treated as a piece of trash to be used, abused, and thrown away. The sad part of this, when God says, I will not hear them. Do you know the ultimate of God's wrath is not chastisement? And the ultimate of God's wrath is not correction? You know what the ultimate of God's wrath is? When God gets quiet. It's all over Romans chapter 1. God, leave me alone! Don't convict me! I don't want you. Leave me alone. Are you sure? It's when God says, okay. You want life without me? You want eternity without me? Okay. It's your choice. And I'm saying that there are consequences to sin. They're huge. We're going to quickly walk back through this passage. This is just an outline. You can't look these things up, okay? We're going to look at the power of the dark side of the internet, its perversity, its privacy, price tag, and prevention. I thought, honestly, since we're meeting again tomorrow, I'm just going to preach all night long where you don't have to waste the gas to come back tomorrow, okay? In regards to the power of the dark side of the internet, there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. Again, the ancients, those who know better, these are the guys that were the spiritual leaders. Many of us in this room right now. Who was one of the strongest men in the Bible? His name? Samson. What destroyed his walk with God? His incredible lust for strange women. Who was one of the wisest kings in all the Bible? His name? Solomon, 700 wives, 300 cucumber vines. Did he have a problem? Yeah. And these women pulled his heart away from God. Who was one of the most godly kings in all the Bible? His name? David. Did David love God? Yes. Did he sing praises to God? Yes. Did David hate sin? Yes. Did he choose to sin? Yes. Are you like closer to God than David? I'm not. I want to be. I'm striving to be. I want to be a man after God's own heart. But I'm not David. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands, take heed, guys, watch out, be careful, lest you fall. We better watch and pray lest we enter into this temptation. I mean, the spirit is ready. We want to do what is right. You guys wouldn't even be here tonight if you didn't want to do what is right. But the flesh is so weak. Speaking of the strange woman, the Bible says she has cast down many wounded. Many strong men have been slain by her. Strong men. men who have walked with God. And every time a strong man falls, 1,000 weak men say, I can't either. Power. There's no one, not one of us in this room that are beyond the power of the dark side of the internet. And if for whatever reason you think it is not an issue and not a problem, and I'm looking out, and a lot of you guys are my age and even older, you're in your 60s and 70s, and you're thinking, man, this is past me. Guys, do you know the senior saints are one of the biggest areas, age groups that struggle with porn? We think it's no big deal. You will spend your time and you will spend your money with that which you love. If you really, really want to know how much you love your God, your family, your wife, just study your time. What about the perversity? Go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. Again, I really don't have to make a list, explain this stuff. You know how vile, how wicked it is. And what are the dangers? Well, obviously, the anonymous and easy accessibility of pornography to our kids, our grandkids. The last 4 or 5 guys I have counseled that seriously wanted counsel that were all addicted to porn, all 5 of them started at the age of 11. And we say, how early, when do we talk to our sons? How do we help them? You help them to love God and love His Word so much when they're 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. That's where it starts, guys. Do you have devotions with your little guys? I hope so. Do they know that Dad loves the Word of God? I get asked all the time, Renz, what's one of the best things I as a dad can do for my family? I say, that's an easy one. Get up in the morning and spend time with God. Your wife will have such confidence in you. Your kids will be so proud of you when they know that you're a man of the Word. What are the dangers? Easy accessibility for kids. But there's another one. I'm going to be very discreet here, and that's the proliferation of child pornography. Do you know what I do when I'm not being a camp director and running a zip line or announcing a game or being stupid and fun time? You know what I do? I sit in my office with kids. So I got a 14-year-old girl in my office whose mom's boyfriend raped her and she had AIDS and she's going to die. Another 15-year-old girl, similar thing happened to her, only this time the boyfriend, she got pregnant, and they insisted that she have an abortion and kill the baby, and this little girl sitting in my office screaming, they made me kill my baby? Guys, every single time there's any child pornography, some kid's life has been wrecked. Some kid's life has been destroyed. And we still choose to view it or to buy it. Doesn't make much sense, does it? It's perversity. What about its privacy? He said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Guys, I want you to understand that there is no privacy. None. Delete does not mean delete. Secret sins are not as secret as we think they are. And again, even if you can fool everybody in this earth, you can't hide from God. There is no privacy. It's just a matter of time before it will come out. I want you to understand that this whole concept of the perversity and the privacy, and we think that God's not watching. Oh, guys, come on. A mom shared this. Let me just read what she wrote. She said, I've always felt pornography was bad, that it was harmful, but I felt it didn't affect me personally. We live in a small, close-knit community. Pornography is not an issue there. I basically felt immune to its effects. A year ago in April, my world was shattered by the effects of pornography. My 3-year-old daughter was raped and violated in every manner you can imagine by a 12-year-old boy. When they arrested the young man, we were told that they would surely find sexual abuse in his background. This is the reason he did this to my daughter. After a thorough evaluation, they came to one conclusion. There was no abuse in his background. But he was exposed to pornography. What he saw not only gave him ideas of what to do and how to do it, it gave him permission to treat females in a degrading, in a debasing manner. So I'm in my office, I'm with a young mom, she's got 2 kids, 2 and 4, I think, if I remember right, and I'm on the phone, I'm talking to her husband, who is a friend, pastor friend, worked at the Wilds, graduated from Christian College. Why am I talking to him on the phone? Because he's in prison. And why is he in prison? Because he couldn't keep his stinking hands off other people's kids. Do you think that he woke up one morning and thought, I think I'm going to go molest a couple kids and blow my family apart and lose my ministry? No way. When he was 11 and 12, he started viewing this stuff. At 13 and 14, 15, he wouldn't quit. At 16, 17, and 18, he kept looking for more. He got into his 20s. Now he had more opportunity. This kept going till he got to his late 20s. And every single time, his flesh would cry out. He would say, yes, 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 yes. Until the biggie came. He couldn't say no. The last I heard, he's getting another 15-year sentence on the sentences he has already had. Guys, you can choose your sin. But you cannot choose the consequences of your sin. What you're thinking today, you're becoming tomorrow. And although you may keep it secret for many, many years, your sin will find you out. What about the price tag? What will it cost us? God says, I'm going to deal my fury. I'm not going to overlook this. There will be consequences. What will it cost us? Everything that you hold dear to you. You literally throw it away. Some of you have been married 25, 30 years and you have built a trust account with your wife and she trusts you. You know how long it takes to bankrupt that trust account? One night. Price tag. Many of you for years have taught Sunday school. You've been faithful in your church. You raised a Christian family. You sent them off to Christian college. And you've tried to do what is right. And then one night of sin and you get caught. What will everyone remember about you? Your 25, 30 years of doing right or your one night of sin? I'm telling you guys, we can choose our sin. But we cannot choose the consequences of our sin. What's the prevention? Behold the glory of the God of Israel. Right at this point, you're going, Rand, you're scaring us. Good. We need to be scared. We all need to be refreshed with a view of the gravity of our own depravity. Guys, we are wicked beings. It is amazing that God loves us. Amazing that he forgives us. Even in our attempts to do what is right, we often do it for acceptance or to look good in front of others. We're wicked people. But never forget the glory of the God of Israel. Guys, he's a powerful God. And not only by his grace, which we'll look at especially tomorrow, not only by his grace can he keep us from these sins, he can make us change the want and the desire in our heart. Because it is God that works in us, both the will and to do. He can help us with the to do. That divine enablement will be there. But the will, he can literally change our wants and our desires. That's our powerful God using his powerful will and his powerful word. We're going to look at 4 quick principles and then we'll be done. And by the way, remember that probably 80% of my preaching has been to teenagers, okay? And I get a little nervous when I get in front of you old guys, but you're nothing more than teenagers with wrinkles, and then I'm okay, all right? secret agent, principal, the surfer dude, sumo wrestler principal, hang on, I'll explain it, and then the strange woman principal. In regards to secret agents are cool. I think one of the coolest one I ever remember was, I don't even remember his name, some dude used to take his shoe off and talk to his phone, you know, and sneak around. Secret agents sneak around so nobody can see them. Guys, don't be a secret agent. Let the words of my mouth, everything that I say, and the meditation of my heart, everything I think about, be what? Acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. I want you to be pleased with everything I say and pleased with everything I think. I do, Lord, help me. I don't want to be a secret agent. How do you do this in a practical way? Accountability. If you struggle with this, don't go online alone. Seriously, make sure your wife is there. Make sure somebody's in the home. Invite the pastoral staff over your house. I don't care what you do, but just be careful. Visibility, never serve in secret. And I'm saying this as a friend, okay? If you're one of those guys that have your little office with your little lock and you've got your computer and you know your password and your wife doesn't, you're nuts. You're out of your mind. Your wife should be able to go and sit down at your computer, your iPad, whatever. Anytime, and see where you've been. And how many stories can I give you over and over of kids, and kids that come to me. And by the way, when the kids come to me, the teens, it's not just like, Rand, I have a struggle, I'm struggling with porn. Often it's a boy, 17, crying because his mom met somebody online and left their family. Or many, many teenage girls, again, who are scared of their dads, don't know what to do. Vulnerability, never talk to strangers. We'll talk about this more tomorrow, or excuse me, probably on Sunday night, but please protect your kids. I do. I want your kids to stay pure. But there's a bunch of false teachers out there that want your kids to believe that God's a joke. Or if nothing else, he's no more than an Allah or a Buddha. And so they're all the same. There's many online seeking to deceive our kids. The surfer dude principle. Surfer dudes are not actually known for their intelligence, okay? They're cool. They like to surf. I get to preach in Hawaii. I think I've been there 5 or 6 times. And one time when I was there, I have a pastor friend. He's a big-time surfer. He goes, Rand, we're going surfing this week. I said, nah, that's not. Oh, we got to go. The waves are 15 feet high. I said, dude, what happens if you fall off a wave that's 15 feet high? He said, well, it's like falling off a wall, but you're not going to fall because I'm going to be with you. But we got to go Monday or Tuesday because the tide or something is shifting and there might be some sharks. Guys, stop right there, okay? I still wear swimmies when I get in the bathtub. I am not going surfing, okay? A prudent man foresees the evil and he hides himself. When you're prudent, you're wise. You don't want to be destroyed. You don't want to fail, fall. You stay away. If that door there led to a bunch of Dobermans and Rottweilers, I'm not going out that door, okay? I'm going to run away. But the simple, pass right on. The simple, keep clicking. The non-thinking, you know what the Greek word that's translated simple is? Moros. What word do you know sounds like moros, guys? Morons. We're idiots. If we think we can mess around with the dark side of the internet and escape the consequences of sin. Refuse to surf, it'll keep you out of deep water. Know where you're going and what you want. Get in, get it, get out. Got it? Good. Shopping man syndrome, okay? I don't know if you get, I already asked about your shopping. I'm not a good shopper, okay? As long as there's a Starbucks near, you know, I'm okay because I can read and stuff like that, but it's tough. So you ever been shopping with your daughter, your wife, you know, and she says, oh, hon, I'm just going to try on a couple outfits. I said, well, that's okay. And you walk over by the tryout rooms, and there's a bunch of overstuffed chairs and a bunch of guys sitting there. Said, how you doing, guys? They said, good. We called in the pizza. You want to chip in? I said, no, I'm not going to be here that long. And they laughed at me. One of my little boys said, how old's your son? He said, I don't know. He was 2 when we came here, you know? That's kind of how it is. But men, when they shop, they do. They get in, they get it, they get out. If you would approach the internet that way, it'd save you from a lot of hurt. Sumo wrestler principle. Sumo wrestlers are cool, okay? All 600-700 pounds. When they take that 1 foot, puts it, everything jiggles, you know? They got more chins than a Chinese phone book. These guys are amazing. They really are. But one of the things they do, they get in a big circle like this, you know? And they come and grab a hold of the other guy and they try to knock him out of the circle. When they do, he loses. guys, I am not going to spend my whole life right here. The edge, one little hit, and I'm gone. You know what I'm going to do? If that's the edge, I'm going to stay as far away as I possibly can. You want to teach your sons a great Bible principle? Don't teach them just to stay away from sin. Teach them to stay away from temptation. Lord, lead us not to temptation. Keep us as far from temptation as we possibly can. In some counseling, if you're helping some kids or older who struggle with drugs, there's a little acrostic called HALT, H-A-L-T. And if you really struggle with drugs and you're hungry or angry or lonely or tired and you're tempted, you're going to give in. When it comes to sexual lust, we really want to do what is right, but you're angry, you're lonely, you're really tired, and you're tempted, you're probably going to sin. So we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, put on his character, his characteristics, and make not provision for the flesh. Don't provide a way to make it easy. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Make it hard to sin, easy to do right. Say it with me. Hard to sin, easy to do right. Say it again. Hard to sin, easy to do right. And we need to teach kids that we need to make it hard. So when you're really walking with God and you get all the filters and you get all the blocks and you set it up, then when you are tired and hungry or lonely or you're just out of sorts with the world and you're tempted and you go to sin, you can't. Because you have set up so many blocks and stuff, you can't even go there. Protect with passwords. Protect with filters, safe eyes, canine, covenant eyes. There's dozens, and many of them cost nothing. Protect with a delete button. We've got to protect ourselves. And by the way, Grandpa, you know I've had a lot of young couples tell me, I can't take my kids to my parents. And I'm not going to leave them there. I say, why? Because for whatever reason, the TV is blasting. They never mute the commercials. They just let whatever on. They have no internet blocks and filters whatsoever. They say it's not a big deal for me. I remember one church I was at, three grandmas were waiting at the back door. And when I got back there, they all three started weeping because all three of them had a grandson. They got addicted to porn at their house. Because they refused to make it hard to sin and easy to do what is right. Strange woman principle. The Bible says, remove thy way far from her. Come not near the icon of her website. That's what it means in Hebrew there, okay? Lest you give your honor to others and yours to the cruel, and strangers be filled with your wealth. So you go somewhere and there's like easy access to Wi-Fi and you're tired and you're tempted and you pull out your little credit card and you put in four numbers, expiration date. And like you buy this stuff? You are not tripping and falling into sin, guys. You're volitionally choosing to be involved in that. As I mentioned before, lest you give your honor to others. 25 years living for God, one night of sin. And that's what they remember forever. Remove thy way far from her. Concentrate in your relationship with your family. If you're a dad and you're old enough to have a daughter in college, I want you to think about what it's going to be like to make that phone call. Hey, hon, I need to talk to you. Yeah. Yep, dad's been involved in pornography for many, many years. Yeah. Mom already moved in with grandpa and grandma. Concentrate on your relationship with your spouse, or for you single guys, your future spouse. And how much that will hurt her. And she'll feel like trash for the rest of her lives. And she'll feel dirty. Concentrate in your relationship with your Lord. Ezekiel, do you see what's happening in the midst of my people? They've driven me out of the sanctuary. They don't want to worship me anymore. They've turned their back on me because they've fallen in love with this other God that they want to give their lives to. Ezekiel, mine eye shall not spare. I'm not going to overlook this. We have a choice. Purity is a precious thing. And it's usually desired too late, isn't it? And it's fought for too little. Purity is contagious. A love for the Word of God is seen by your kids, by your family. They fall in love with the Word of God. And that will be and is the key. Guys, tonight has simply been a warning that we can choose our sin, but we cannot choose the consequences of our sin. And if you're burdened for your own heart and you're burdened for those you love, please, tomorrow, we're going to study the art of medieval warfare and look very, very closely how you can keep your heart with all diligence. It's a great study. And I'm not saying this stuff is easy, okay, but it is simple. You can be clean to this book. You can. Please, my prayer for you is very, very simple. Don't ever get caught in the dark side of the internet. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. You know, these kinds of sessions, you say, Rand, what do you do? How do you finish one like this? Okay, if I was going to give an invitation tonight, I would insist that it would last at least 6 months. Serious. Because some in this room, we've habituated ourselves to evil thinking. And maybe we think that, like, maybe 2 weeks will fix 5 years. I want you to understand that the Word of God is very, very powerful. And God is such a loving, forgiving God. If we confess our sins, now remember, confess, homologeo, agree with God. If we agree with God about our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. He is. And then I promise you, He'll not only give you that divine enablement, but He'll renew your desire through His Word. It's so wonderful to experience and understand the cleansing of the Word of God. Would you just take a second, talk to God, pray maybe in your heart. Maybe God's given you tremendous victory in this area, but you're really burdened for someone else, family member, friend, and pray for them. Just spend some time with your Lord, and then one of the pastors will come and close us tonight.